they were online, but since the holiday, the building is locked, the first day was open the door. I don't know whether there's anyone there.
Okay, the purpose of this meeting is to get all the participants in a recent controversy in one room so that we can get to the bottom of it. It has to do with a problem in Ketchikan, and we're wondering whether or not it might be a problem in other areas of the state. We've got here today people from the Division of Lands and also the Department of Natural Resources and Department of Environmental Conservation, and also some representatives from Ketchikan. What I'd like to do then is to turn it over to Oral to try to give an explanation of the problem and see if we can then get some responses from the folks.
What we're talking about is the land disposal program proposed for Ketchikan that 265.7 acres of land disposed of it, and 197.4 acres are in the right of way in Greenbelt areas and natural land to be disposed of. Amount supposed to be disposed of is 68.3 acres. That's roughly half acre lost, 117 of it. The problem started, and the reason I have become quite upset about this is that the fact that the mayor of Ketchikan, Mr. Peter, who is sitting right behind me, wrote a letter to the Division of Land in which it says that the Borough Assembly is recommending to the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Planning Board that the Mud Bay subdivision plat not be approved. And I took exception to that to the extent that as most of you members here, a lot of you members here remember early in the meeting, the two conferees, the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, and the Chairman of the House, House and Senate Finance Committee Chairman, had a meeting with the governor in which we discussed this. And when we were talking about the municipality's right to override or veto the land disposal program, I read the letter from the mayor as an example of one of the reasons that I didn't think it was proper to allow municipalities to override. Like everything else around this place, there are no secrets, and it doesn't take time for the word to get around. The word got back to Ketchikan, and the people were a little upset about it. As a consequence of this, we had a teleconference meeting, myself on one end, and a room full of people, I think there was 11 or 12 of them on the other end, and this lasted for about an hour and a half, and that's kind of a tough go when you kind of feel like your heart is back against it. Anyway, I went through the program and explained to them my stand, my feelings as far as the land disposal program was concerned. And what I didn't understand at that time was why they were offering resistance to it, knowing the way I felt about it. And as a consequence of this, we begin to find out things that I don't know about, and I have a feeling that the elected officials in Ketchikan did not know about. And one of the objections to the municipality side was that the subdivision, the way it was laid out, would require a sewage disposal system. And the reason for the question was asked, why does it have to have a sewage disposal system? The reason is because the lots are small. And one question followed another. Why are the lots small? Well, it all depends on who you talk to. I talked to the Division of Lands. The Division of Lands says the lots are small because the Planning Department of Ketchikan recommended this particular size lot. I go back to the Planning Division. They say that they recommend this because the DEC says that they wouldn't approve on-site sewage disposal for lot, even if there were 5 acres. And, you know, I kept being called back and forth. The municipal government, in this case, borough planner, provided me with a copy of all the correspondence that she had available, which deals with the subject. And when I go through and read it, I find that some of the people that I was sort of a little put out about in the first place, I'm convinced at least at this point that they're not culpable. I have a letter in here, for instance, where the Division of Land says that they would make the subdivision in 3 to 5 acre lot. And so then I come back and I find the reason that, again, other correspondence that says the EC says they won't approve it if it even if it is 5 acres. This is where I begin to have real problems. And for those of you that are not acquainted with Ketchikan, let me explain the situation. In Ketchikan, of course, the town is located right along the beach, and we have a road that runs, the part where people live on it runs out about 16 and a half, 17 miles. There's a road up beyond that, of course, there's no people living there. And then there's a road that's where people live along both sides of the road and side roads that go south for about 10 miles. Now, in the area, there's living outside the city of Ketchikan, there's probably just a rough estimate. Mayor, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but my estimate would be that there's probably 3,000 to 4,000 people living in that area. Now, all of the soil along there is not that much different. Again, if you've been to Ketchikan, you know, you start out the beach and you've got rock with a little soil and muskeg and trees, solid goes to the top of the mountain. That's just the way the country is made. In that area, as far as sewage disposal system is concerned, the city of Ketchikan itself has a sewage disposal system. It has gathering lines and then they dump it in the bay. That's their sewage disposal system. They're in the process of complying with the law to correct that. Other than that, then at the south edge of the city of Ketchikan, we have a Coast Guard base, and they have a sewage treatment plant. It's meets all the specifications. The federal government built for that. About 3 to 4 miles south of Ketchikan is the village of Sisson, which is a very, very small community. They also have a sewage treatment plant. The federal government paid for that. Other than that, all the rest of the people in that area, every single home in there, there's 3,000 or 4,000 people, there is not one single sewage disposal plant. They're all on-site sewage disposal systems. What I'm trying to say is that when the DEC tells me that they will not approve on-site sewage disposal, even if it's 5 acres, I begin to become highly suspicious. Suspicious why? Maybe I'm a little paranoid about it. I recall some of the people have been on here a little longer. A few years ago, the Department of Environmental Conservation made the decision on their own that they were going to change the minimum lot size in the Ketchikan area. And they did that. They did it by regulation. And this was completely upset the community because we had all these lots are all surveyed, people living on all these different things, and they come along after the fact and change the lot size. The local legislators went to them and complained and pleaded with them everything we could do and explaining the problem, and they were adamant. They wouldn't do anything about it. We solved the problem very simply by drawing up a resolution overturning a regulation. Since that time, we've had no problems with DEC on the lot size, but I suspect that maybe there's, again, and maybe this is not fair, but I have the feeling that they may have been waiting for the time to come and missed a bit. So I tried to think when I first became aware of this, how this thing was developing, I tried to think of somebody that could verify what I was saying, and I happened to think of a real easy one. The Speaker of the House lives out in the country, and he has a house, and he has home lot sewage disposal, so I ran right quick and asked him what his lot size was, and he said 1.5 acre. Mr. Chairman, what I'm trying to say is that all these people that live there and have for probably, know how old the town is, but let's say 80 years at least, and we've been making it all right. Now, there's no argument, I wouldn't argue with anybody, that maybe the soil conditions in the Ketchikan area are not ideal for on-site sewage disposal, but that's the way they are. It's, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. And there are other circumstances they talk about in this report. They talk about there's only 2 foot of soil, and there's clay, and there's rock, and all sorts of things. They don't mention in there anywhere in there that there's also 13 feet of rain. So there's other things in there besides. The point I'm trying to make is we have survived and there has been no problem. So that brings us again up to date as the best I can tell you. I finally decided that that there's a possibility that the problem that we have here may be, this just may be one sample, and there may be other cases where land disposal programs are being held up, are being deterred simply because somebody at the bureaucratic level is making some kind of a decision. And I frankly resented when the fact that the policy-making people, the legislators, and the elected local officials were, in this particular case, came into conflict when really it was neither one of us were really making any of the decisions that caused it. It was as I told one of my friends in Ketchikan, I had the feeling that, and I said, I think your bureaucrats and my bureaucrats are pleading and dealing besides behind their back, and none of us know what's going on, and I resent that. So I thought the best thing we can do, I asked Mr. Miles and his department, working on some revisions to the land bill, that maybe this would be a good time to examine close up problems. Again, you can go, if you want to look at the packet, I asked my aide to put them in some kind of a chronological order. There's a map in there that shows the layout that ended up in half acre lots. You'll find in there where the Division of Land says it was their intention to go ahead with a 3 to 5 acre subdivision and these sort of things.
I'd like to get your explanation in summary form if I can. I'd like to ask you some questions. The three parties we're talking about here are lands, the municipality of Ketchikan, and DEC. Okay, now, what I'd like you to do is just briefly tell me what each one of those has told you. In other words, it looks like they're sort of everybody's saying something different, so I'm trying to get it straight. What is Lance doing, or what are they so about? Just as briefly as you can.
As briefly as I can, Mr. Chairman, as you well know, I've been, over the last 4 or 5 years, I've been very critical of the division of land, the times over the land disposal program. But it's my particular feeling at this time that they're not culpable. And I didn't know that when I started looking into this, because I said they have notified both, and in the correspondence we have with George here, there is a letter in there that they have said that they're going to go ahead with this program. It was their intent to go ahead with this program on a 3 to 5 acre approach. And then
what happened to that intent?
What happened to that intent apparently is the best I can figure out, and any of the parties here can correct me at any time, is the best I can figure out is that the Division of Lands told me that they have been instructed by the administration to do everything they could to cooperate with the municipality, and I agree with that. I think that's proper for them to do. So the municipality says that they don't want 3 to 5 acres. You know, they can't go for this because they're going to have a sewage disposal system, and there's no money provided for it. They're going to have a sewage disposal system, and so if they're going to have sewage disposal system, which is the word that DEC gives them, then they would prefer to have the lots bunched together in small areas so it would be less expensive. I can't quarrel with them on that. So I keep coming back to the fact that DEC says you're not going to have a disposal.
Okay, so Lands was going to go ahead with it, but they want to cooperate with the municipality. The municipality said that they wanted to go ahead with smaller lots to facilitate a future sewage disposal.
Recall.
And that was because DEC recommended that.
DEC simply said, as I understand the correspondence, DEC says that they will not approve of the small, on lot sewage disposal, regardless of the size of the lot.
Where's the talking about the area in between.
This part up in here is where it shows the layout. That is the proposed layout. That would be the new land. That was state land before, and nobody lived. But there, on the other land around it, on the lower side, the lower side, the bottom is the beach side. And it goes along there, the road goes down along here. This was the old road, there's houses all along there, and come along with the new road, there's houses along there.
And those houses then, they're within a half a mile, quarter mile, a mile of the existing?
Well, there's houses right on this side, yes, it'd be across the road.
Just across the road?
Yes.
And those have onsite sewage now?
Yeah, I'd like to, again, I think pose a question to the governor representing the EDC. Could you respond to the problems that this opinion is coming up?
Well, our review of the...
Sure,
let me turn the microphone on, too. My name's Ernie Muller, and I'm the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation. And we just were informed of the exact reason for this meeting yesterday, and we tried to pull together our files so we can provide you the information we have. Apparently, DNR's consultant to this particular project, which were both Charles Poole and Associates and Trick Nyman and Hayes, that did the soils examination, which is the information that the department uses and eventually when it comes to determine whether or not a particular subdivision or lot is capable of absorbing waste from a septic tank through a soil absorption system, that those consultants through a series of meetings informed a number of people, including the Borough Land Committee and ourselves and the Department of Natural Resources, that the soils comprising the Mudbite and South Saxman subdivisions were not capable of absorbing sewage disposed on-site using conventional affordable treatment systems. Essentially, they, I would presume, use their own engineering judgment and experience, and we are familiar with both of those firms.
Was that regardless of the lot size?
Well, eventually, Mr. Chairman, it becomes regardless of the lot size because in order to make it work, you would have to build a soil absorption system that is so expensive that it's prohibitive. And in many cases, in other words, we're looking at it from a standpoint of the ability of the soils to absorb waste, the amount of soil that you have to do that per square foot, if you will, in this particular subdivision is very small. It is conceivable that you could build a gigantic soil absorption system on a 5 or 10 acre lot that might be able to work, but no person would reasonably be able to afford that. So based on that information, and without ever, you know, coming in for a formal petition to us to review that, we were asked to sit down with DNR and the consultants and the Borough Land Committee to try to work out a solution. And we've merely provided some technical expertise. My understanding is that the drawings on the wall, which some of which represent different configurations of that particular subdivision, were the guidelines were given by the borough. And I think that, you know, myself, they've done some good work here, although we don't really concern ourselves with such areas as streets or even in many cases optional types of sewage collection designs, because that's up to the local people and their consulting engineers. But our information is, and I think the information that the consultants to DNR provided is very simple, and that is that a soil absorption system cannot work in that kind of a situation. Now, we've had, I'm sure the committee is aware, we've been involved for a number of years in trying to develop a series of conditions that will allow people to develop their land in the Ketchikan area and other areas in Alaska and still be able to dispose of their waste from their development in a manner that does not threaten the public health, including their own and including the adjacent property owners. In some cases in Ketchikan, of course, subdivisions are many years old. lots are only now being developed that were sold before we revised our regulations, that were, or were subdivided before we revised our regulations in 1977. So those lots, in our opinion, are essentially grandfathered in. We have no requirement for a permit, if you will, for an individual homeowner to build a septic tank and attempt a soil absorption system, which may or may not fail in the future. What happens, of course, in many cases is that banks will come in and ask for our opinion, and we have regulations and that describe what's required in a subdivision, so we give our opinion to the banks, and they may or may not grant a loan to someone who wishes to build a new house in Ketchikan or Fairbanks or wherever it is. So in this particular case, we're dealing with a new subdivision that can be designed to solve this particular problem. And so we're not dealing with a grandfathered-in lot that may be a third of an acre or a half an acre, where somebody, in our opinion, should attempt on an individual basis to try some kind of a system or lose his land value. And the other situation that you should be aware of is the fact that over the last few years, we have tried to encourage people to use other than septic tank systems in Ketchikan, to use an individual small package plant. These, if they're operated properly, can do a much better job of digesting the wastes than a septic tank. However, we're still faced with the problem of ultimate disposal of those wastes after digestion. And that's the problem with soil absorption systems. But these are a little better in some kinds of areas where we know that you might be discharging the waste, say, into the mud flat or into an intertidal area or something like that. They are, in some cases, equivalent to secondary treatment, which is the federal requirement. So as near as we can figure, that's the situation. It is indeed true that if a sewer system was to be built in the mud bite subdivision, that for economical reasons, for those kinds of reasons, it's more economical to build a system to serve a larger number of lots than it is of small lots. A larger number of small lots than it is a small number of large lots in terms of the individual assessment per lot. This is one of the problems we eventually face in areas such as Fairbanks, where the state many years ago put in large lot subdivisions, and people's wells are running dry, and they've got five-acre lots, and they're going to have enormous expensive time putting in a public water supply system in those areas. Our recommendation, and actually what it is a proposal by DNR to us, is that, and I guess the borough has approved this as well, is that a common collector system be used that's gravity fed, and that collector system discharge out to the ocean, and that it wouldn't have any lift stations, so it would not require expensive lift station maintenance, and that each individual homeowner would put in a package plant to discharge to this common collector system, and that would solve the problem from our perspective. As was mentioned, and I think that if you read carefully the correspondence from the borough is also concerned about the cost of streets and other improvements, and the cost of putting in sewer lines and the cost of putting in streets, if they're done at the same time, can save a substantial amount of money. At least that's been our experience in common construction and rights of way and easements, that sort of thing. So anyway, that's our particular position. We feel that in this particular case, the common collector system can work very well. It can solve a potential long-term problem for the residents of that particular area if they did attempt to put in sewer system, unlocked waste disposal system such as septic tanks and drain fields that subsequently failed. Our experience has been over a series of experiences like this, such as in Fairbanks and in Homer and many other places, that eventually the threat to the public health becomes so great that they have to form a service area. The state will have to come in there with grant money, federal and state grant money. Local government will have to participate and put in a very expensive sewage collection and treatment system after the fact, and essentially the residents would be buying at least two, one that they bought that failed and one that is an aggregate that they will pay for later on. We're just doing this in Belain Lake subdivision of Fairbanks right now, paying for a collector system to bring that into another area. So that's the kind of problem we're faced with.
Commissioner, I don't know all that much about the technical details here, but common sense tries to tell you that if the public health is more threatened if you have quarter acre lots and one person on each one of those, and if you have one person on each 5 acre lot. I mean, doesn't the congestion obviously would increase the hazard to public health? Seems to me that's pretty simple. I can understand your point about if you are going to put in gathering lines, it's more economical to do it in, ticky-tacky type San Francisco style, but I don't really understand why it is that, up until the time that you do that, it seems to me that you'd be better off with the largest lot you can get.
Oh.
That way you wouldn't have the kind of increase the congestion.
Mr. Chairman, there may be, in view of just proximity of buildings and so on, you're correct. I think that our view, we don't have any control over that. If people want to build 5 acre lot subdivisions with a sewage collection system, that's fine with us. It's just that when the borough took a look at that, they were looking at it in terms of long-term economics, I'm sure, and they felt that...
Well, it appears to me that there's a trade-off involved. It's not a clear-cut, question. There's a trade-off involved between the long-term expense of putting in gathering lines or whatever you call that kind of a system. I don't know what you call it, but whatever you call it, putting in this system that people are spread out more, more expensive on the one hand, but in the short run, it's got to be better until you have that situation. It's got to be better that you have people on 5 acre lots instead of half acre lots per. And in addition, you said that eventually, when people come into this area, eventually that there's going to be a hazard to public health and the state will be forced to come in and build a system. Well, that's plausible, but I think that time would come a lot quicker if they're on half-acre lots and if they're on 5-acre lots. Am I correct in that assumption? It seems to me that,
well,
that time would come a lot quicker.
If they were putting in soil absorption systems, that's indeed true, but if someone was to put in a soil absorption system on a half-acre lot, we would never approve a new subdivision with soils of this type for lots as small as half an acre for use with soil absorption systems. They simply, as I mentioned before, a 5 acre lot, soil absorption system won't work there either. The soils are just simply not conducive to that kind of waste disposal, at least from the information that the consulting engineer to DNR has gathered.
You didn't answer my question. My question was whether or not, my feeling that a half-acre lot, you're worse off in a half-acre lot than you are in a 5-acre lot in terms of the public health, in regards to, it just seems if you got more room, you got, by definition, you're better off than if you try to put 10 times as many people in the same area, you're going to be worse off.
If you're going to put soil absorption systems in, that's correct. But essentially what you're doing is by putting in 5-acre lots, you're spacing out what eventually will be a pool of untreated sewage on the ground. You're spreading out the houses, so
right.
the possibility of my child wandering through somebody else's pool of raw sewage is more remote than it would be if the lots were smaller, so that's true.
And aren't you giving yourself more time until it gets to be critical?
Not really. Depends on the design of the soil absorption system. But as a practical matter,
These people that have been using the system for X number of years, I don't know how long you're saying they've been using it, but they're grandfathered in from your regulations, and they must obviously be creating a public health hazard. Did you say that Ketchikan's in bad shape right now, that there's some sort of health hazard, and that the public health is threatened, using your words, because of the system?
We have been aware of this problem, as has the Department of Health and Social Services, for a number of years. And we've been developing a series of monitoring stations to take samples from streams and creeks in the Ketchikan area, in developed areas particularly. And the trend is that a growing number of these streams and creeks are contaminated with fecal coliform bacteria, which are an indicator of pollution from sewage.
So there is a public health hazard currently?
Yeah. Yes.
This morning, I'm Mayor Carol Fader of the Ketchikan County Gateway Borough, and I guess it's my letter that sparked this particular meeting. We in Ketchikan are very hopeful that Mr. Freeman's land concept will prevail. And we also have some concerns about the public health. There's a cost involved here, and it's my hope resolving this land issue that perhaps we can become involved in HB 244, which I understand is the enterprise fund, which I don't have a lot of details about, but I do feel that that's a concept that should be considered concomitant or parallel to the parceling out of the land. I have with me this morning Jack McBride, who is an elected city councilman appointed to the borough assembly. Before his election to the city council, I appointed him to the land for the local planning and zoning commission. And he's also been my appointment to the lands committee, first with the Forest Service and ultimately with the borough land selection commission. I'm going to ask him to review historically the all kinds of things that he's been involved with, trying to resolve the issue of getting land to the people. I also have with me Catherine Parso, the Inspector of Planning. Since she is staff, we will not draw on her expertise. We will draw on the expertise of the elected officials and get advice. Solid rock below on 2 to 5 feet plus keg, it would be a problem. maybe 200 meetings on land and listen to the public and listen to the people. And we've had many, many public meetings when ordinances are drawn up. The Planning Commission is, of course, open to the public. They have many discussions. And then when they go to the borough assembly, there, or it's an ordinance, they have at least two. So there's been a lot of concern and a lot of information given to the community. And it's not, these questions aren't easy. And I think we should be here today not looking for the culprit that's done something wrong, but to, as a joint organization here, to get the job done. And I think Oral's, I understand his frustrations. He's worked long and hard to get land out to the people. He's been one of the promoters within the state of getting this done. And I can see it's frustrating to him. But when you get down to the local and municipal level, it really does have problems.
My comment on your explanation would be, I think you're right, we should make an attempt to resolve the problem, but I think you have to remember what happened here. The legislature, through the work of Mr. Freeman, you know, implemented a policy of 5-acre lots, and then somewhere along the line in the lower thresholds of municipal or state government, you know, for economic concerns or future environmental concerns or whatever, that policy was essentially overturned without, as I understand it, without even consulting the people that, that are really the makers of the policy. And maybe that there is a problem that if we go with 5 acres, that downstream the expense is greater. But I think, and that the state may have to come in and bail that out, but I think Freeman, Vice Chairman of the Finance Committee, is in a good position to make a decision whether or not to take that risk. And that he wants to assume that trade-off. I think that his computation would be very important in that regard. And if the state is the one that's going to have to come in and bail out the situation, and if the state's making the original policy, I think the problem here is not so much, you know, what the facts are. I think we're pretty much on track now, but what the problems are, you know, what the possible solutions are, but when there's several different alternatives and, you know, you people or someone has chosen the alternative which is not the one that Mr. Freeman would choose, I think it's important to note that, you know, the policymaker, the person that was going to come up with the bucks in the long run, didn't get consulted in the process. We're going to have to break for session. I'd like to call this meeting back to reconvene at 1:30 in the finance room.